We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hale before he flies out to Philly for WrestleMania weekend. The FOMO hasn't kicked in yet, but I'm sure it'll hit once all the homies start posting that they're in town on Thursday. It's all right. I got to sit one out for the new gig, but trust me when I say next year, it's on and popping. So it's great, though. Can't wait to hear all the stories, see all the footage. Photos, videos, embarrassing stuff. Dre will never post himself, but other people will post giving him flowers and such. Because really, this is the first time you're around like wrestling people since Our Heroes Rock. Like That's since true. They actually saw it.
That is true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It didn't cross my mind.
Everyone's walking up, be like, yo, this is amazing. Yo, that shit's crazy. It's incredible. So you're going to be just embarrassed in the best way all weekend long.
I didn't think about that. And it's funny because I'm talking to E right now as we're recording this. He's getting ready to do the cheesesteak eat off with Omos and Otis. And
he's not eating cheesesteaks, right?
Fuck E. No. Like we went, like when we was in at the awards, like he wouldn't eat a pizza. So I was like, all right, man. So no, he's not putting any carbs like bread in his system. So, and I think it's a fun fact. Anytime you see him like eat pancakes, like sometimes he just be spitting them shits out. I watched that dude. I've seen him in action, and I was like, you really be fooling people. Like when he be scarfing shit down, like he'll swallow some of it, but some of that shit he'd be like spitting that shit right out. I think he's slick.
This is how you just remain that level of fit. I'm never catching him. You know, man chest aside, I just can't do it. His discipline's a different level.
He works out every day. He's up at 3 a.m. my time. No, earlier than that sometimes. And he's texting me, and I'm like, bro, go to sleep.
Well, why you guys are about to be around each other getting a million congratulations.
Shit, hardly. Well, this dude's schedule is insane. Yeah, so he's doing the eat-off thing today. He's hosting the Slammies on Sunday. He's doing the pre-show with Punk, McAfee. Who else is on that pre-show? Booker?
Both nights. 2 hour pre-show?
It's like 2 or 3 hours. He's doing that. He's doing some shit with the recruits. So if anybody saw the ads for Roku TV, that new thing, that was from last year. So they're doing that again this year. I don't know if they're filming it. So I was like, bro, when I'm going to see you? He's like, Wally Mania. And I was like, after that, he's like, we'll try to go get lunch. But I was like, dude, ain't no way. Right now, my schedule, I get there Thursday right before Wally Mania. Do Wally Mania, me and Mecca. Mecca's not DJing there this year. It's a lot going on. But we're just going to go hang out. Then Friday, I think I'm not going to do anything until the evening with Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor.
Okay.
And Westside Gunn's doing some shit with like Conductor, Alchemist, and like a bunch of other people. He hit me with like pull up.
Like the fourth rope shit?
Yeah.
Oh, it's actually a thing. Dope.
I have no idea what it is. He was just like, pull up. I was like, all right. I don't know if it's a rap concert. I don't know what the fuck I'm getting myself into.
Yeah. So, I think it's a wrestling promotion. Like I mixed intertwined, right? I don't know.
I don't have a clue, but I guess I'm gonna go to that. But earlier Friday, I might just go to like that suplex store in Philly, go get me a cheesesteak. I might stop by a GCW show. Maybe I wanted to go to Bloodsport, but I ain't gonna make it on time. Rampage Jackson is apparently wrestling at Bloodsport. Weird.
Not this one in Japan or something.
Yeah, some weird shit. But other than that, then like Saturday, I probably go to NXT because I do want to see Melo and Trick.
Yeah.
Really bad. I think it's gonna be a great match. And then Busted Open, we're doing some shit Saturday, like after that. And then it's weird because I'm used to the West Coast. Mania don't start till 7 o'clock out there.
Jesus.
Yeah, so it
does. Oh, you're not leaving till like one.
Yeah, I forgot. So like in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, we go get to Mania about 3 or 4 o'clock. And I'm nope. Like NXT starts at noon there, but that's 9 a.m. here. I'm used to that.
Yeah.
So then there's that. Then night two, we got something. And then Mania night two, and then I'm busting my ass back. People was like, yo, you staying for Raw? No, nah, man, my wife will kill me. I had to home.
That's 5 days. 5 days is enough time away from the kids. Even though I was just around your kids last weekend, they're both angels. Perfect.
They're not angels.
Your son didn't cry at all. It was his birthday. He enjoyed every second of it. And he had a lollipop that led to entirely too much drool.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to eat lollipops yet. He just sticks them in his mouth and just lets the juices flow. And I'm like, this guy doesn't know shit.
Nah, man, it's great. But we have so much wrestling to talk then before you get the hell out of here that, of course, we're going to give our predictions for Mania and all that stuff. We now know night one, night two, the cards are filled out. First time we know exactly what's happening. But all the headlines this week, the past couple of days, stolen by CM Punk going on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani, who also had Becky Lynch last week, who had Rhea Ripley this week. They worked an angle on set. Ariel's like completely bought in to this at this point. And those are all great. But the CM Punk interview, I've watched it now front to back. It reminds me of why they, I don't know if he doesn't want to or they don't let him speak very often. You don't get many of these from Punk. And I get like, there was a lawsuit over a podcast, all this shit. Maybe he's a little distrusting. It might have soured him to it. But him doing this long form type of interview was cool to see because it was, and he tries to protect kayfabe at times and all this stuff. But you really get that version of CM Punk that is, and it was a short period of time, but kind of lost on WWE television. It's like he came back and he was, and everyone said it, but he was like corporate Punk. I love everybody. I'm trying to just be nice. I wanted to, and the promos were just getting some teeth behind them. And I liked this last promo with Drew and Seth. I thought that was cool. But this was Punk where it was just like, yeah, fuck it. I'm just come here and talk about whatever. And I thought Ariel asked good questions. He doubled down. He asked some, you know, questions people really wanted to know. And Ariel's face during some of it was hilarious because he's like a five-year-old kid. When he asks some stuff, he's like, yeah, I'm going to get the answer. And then Punk kind of swerves it. But I thought it was well done. And to hear him talk about even a little bit about Brawl Out and then the way that he did leave, which I guess has no NDA, was interesting to see his perspective on it. And I'm sure there's a million different sides to that story.
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of people say different things about this interview. And it's funny because what I see in Punk, this is going to sound bad because it's not like necessarily real. I see a lot of me when it comes to the rogue Dre that just didn't give a fuck about like corporate America and none of that shit, to then understanding, all right, this is how some things actually work.
Yeah.
And so perfect example, when he talks about structure and you need to handle this because you don't want me handling this, that's some shit I would say, right? Because if I handle it, it's gonna be wrong and it's not my job to handle it. When he talks about Jack Perry, for instance, when Shivani goes to get him, he talks about all that. I see myself in that because 10 years ago at BET, I would have never told somebody, you need to handle this before I do. I just handle it and I had to get in trouble, right? Like I'd yell at somebody and I get in trouble. Today, me understands, all right, you got to go through the proper channels, right? I get it. I get where Punk sees AEW as, like, a lot of people didn't like what he said about their business, right? And I get it. I get what he's saying. This isn't for me to agree or disagree. I see him saying, coming from a place that was on television, their job was to fill the house, their job was to entertain, their job was to be mainstream.
Yep.
And then he goes to a company that is pays a lot of attention to what the internet's saying or Meltzer's saying. Granted, I like that shit. Personally, I like wrestling.
Yeah.
But I can understand when you come to a company and you're like, all right, like, all y'all care about is wrestling. Like, you don't care about filling the house. You don't care about going mainstream. It is the reason why Jay Cargill is no longer there. It's the reason why they couldn't keep her, yeah. Right? Like, WWE is a machine in that sense where it's bigger than just what happens in the ring. AEW's focus specifically on what happens in that ring. I respect them both. I like both of them. I get where he's like, this isn't a business. Like, if I go to a court, like when I went from Hip Hop DX to BET, it was like worlds different.
Yeah.
I hated you. Could I go back there now? If it was completely under new management, I could see it being a different scenario. If they do the same bullshit, I'm still going to be out, right? But I feel like Punk would have never came back if Vince was still there. It's pretty obvious. He would have never came back. Him and Hunter buried the hatchet on some shit, and that's some grown-up shit to do.
Yep.
And from everything that I know for everybody that I've talked to that's at WWE, it's different now. It is very different, but some things still remain the same, right? It's still very mainstream. Things remain the same, like Otis and Omos having a Philly cheesesteak eating. AEW never do that shit. No. That's some WWE shit. It's sports entertainment where AEW is pro wrestling. I didn't have a problem with Punk's interview, man. I didn't have a problem with how he talked about the Jack Perry situation. I didn't have a problem with how he talked about the Hangman situation because I talked about that specific thing on this show.
Yeah.
When somebody goes rogue, you're like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Right? Like, we're supposed to be doing this and you're doing that. Now we're not on the same page anymore. Now you're making me look bad. And what am I supposed to do about that? One other thing that caught my ear was when he talked about, holy shit, what was it? Oh my God, I can't remember because he talked about so many goddamn different things.
Yeah, my biggest thing, and I think you touched on like most of it, of what he said and what he mentioned and how he spoke about it. And those are some of the quote unquote gripes, which I don't know why it bothers fans, anything that he spoke on. Because if it's a business or not, like, what does that matter to fans?
Right.
If you like the product, you like the product.
Right.
And it seems as though they're hiring people to get a little closer to being an actual pro wrestling business. People with pro wrestling business experience. And maybe Tony is realizing that because shit is a little crazy. But I would say the thing that stuck out to me is, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, that he said when everything went down, he had quit already. Mm-hmm. He quit in London, went back to his room. It's like, fuck it, I'm out. And then it was Joe, and I forgot who the producer was on the match, but they went to his locker room to get him.
Jerry Lynn.
And it was like, yo, let's just finish this out. And he was like, yeah, there's a lot of fans here. There's a lot of people who paid a lot of money to watch me wrestle. And that was one of his best matches in the company.
Yeah, because he didn't care.
Yeah, it might have been the best match that night, if I recall correctly. Like, and they went and Joe threw him through the bottom of the shit. Like, they tore it down that night. And he was like, I'm out.
Yep.
And it's funny, but there are the things that we do talk about on this show with AEW. Because between the ropes, we know they're going to deliver. The talent is there. Tony really doesn't change shit enough for them to not be as good as they're going to be. WWE style always changes things. And sometimes people could be really good within that. Or sometimes you lose the magic of what the hell you are.
Right.
So AEW doesn't do that. Like, if you were good outside AEW, you're going to be good inside of it. But he did lend credence to some of the stuff we talk about where it's just like, the merch for so long was like mom and pops.
Yep.
Like a lot of stuff they do is mom and pops ish, where he tells Tony, like, yo, just let me go. Like, there's a fight. Like, they don't want me to be here. They're your EVPs. Let me go. He's like, no, we'll just give you a different show. Like, and split the roster. It's like, bro, for what? Like, because you like having me around? I don't, where does this make sense? And
these guys don't like me. Like, they these don't guys like me. Clearly don't like me. What are we doing?
And they're not normal locker room guys. You can say whatever you want. Like, if it was just Jack Perry, who gives a fuck about Jack Perry? If he don't like me, like, I don't care. But these people have titles. They helped you start this.
Yep.
You can't alienate them because they are your executive vice presidents. So your only answer for me then is, yo, I'm just keep you guys away from each other.
And you can't because you're doing joint pay-per-views.
It's like it doesn't make sense. And it was great. One moment he was like, Tony's a nice guy. He's not a boss.
I mean, look, man, a lot of these things both can be true, right? There is shit that Vince McMahon didn't put up with that Tony Khan did put up with.
And that Triple H does, I'm sure.
Right.
And not to just throw Tony under the bus.
But it's like, there's a difference between being a boss and being a friend. Like we talked about the hugs and things like that. I remember now, the thing that I know a lot of people picked at was Punk alluding to guaranteed money is like kind of hurting the business.
Yeah.
There are people that will say, well, Punk got a lot of that guaranteed money because he's been hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the thing about Punk, what I think he means by this, and I could be totally wrong, but what I think he means by this is the idea of saying, we're going to give you all this money now, no matter what you do. And if you choose, because he mentions this, like if you go earlier into the show, he goes, guys would show up to work, want to shoot 4 promos and stay home for 4 weeks. They still get their guaranteed money. That fucks up the business because if I'm a guy who wants to work and I see this dude that's not working and he's getting the same money I'm getting, that presents a problem. So I don't think you should get rid of guaranteed money, but you got to enforce people to work for guaranteed. There should be no option. And I'm sure at some point I may talk to Tony Khan about this, maybe on this podcast, who knows, where there has to be. You can't, if I'm giving you guaranteed money, it's not you shoot 4 promos and go home for 4 weeks. You show up every week, right? Because you can't set that precedent.
Yeah.
It's the funny thing, Eric Bischoff shits on AEW all the time, right? But the thing that Eric Bischoff doesn't do is like, bro, you did the same fucking thing with guaranteed money and guys just stayed home.
Yeah.
Or they had too much creative control. Unfortunately, yeah. Your wrestling wasn't as good as what Tony's bringing to the table in terms of the in-ring action.
No.
You had a bunch of old dudes like with names that had power struggles, and you brought in Vince Russo and all this shit. Tony actually enjoys wrestling. It is his sandbox. It is not a business that's making a ton of money. It's not broke.
No.
I'm sure Warner's happy, but they're not hell-bent on expanding because Tony Khan's got like endless pockets of money.
Yep.
Which is the reason why I can give Okada the money that he gave him, Mercedes the money that he gave her. But if you start giving guys money and they stop showing up to work, then what do you have? Eventually you're going to have a mutiny, or eventually it's going to hurt your product. So I get what he's saying when he says guaranteed money has hurt the business, because nobody's job is to fill up the house by making sure storylines are good enough.
Yeah.
From week to week, you got to watch Dynamite. Or if I'm in your city, you got to come to Rampage. Rampage, I don't even know what the fuck that is anymore. Or you got to come to Collision. But all that to say, like Punk keeps going back to this point. I'm happy for them. I want them to work. It just wasn't for him.
Yeah. And he mentions he has tons of friends there still. Yeah, he's like, happy they're getting a check.
Yeah. So it's not, I don't think he's shitting on the company. Like Punk can be very curt and he can be a straight shooter. But I don't think he's necessarily, it's just the business, that business wasn't for him. He came back for something that he thought, as he says, was an alternative.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, you guys run your business different. I miss structure, right? Yeah. I mean, he said it. It's something else we said on this. Some people need promos written for them. Some people don't.
Yeah.
He mentions that. Like, AEW for him doesn't have that structure. Does that mean that work doesn't work for anybody else? No. There are plenty of people at AEW who are happy. There are plenty of people that are unhappy. On the other side of the coin, there are plenty of people that are happy at WWE. But it's not like everybody's happy there. They're just two different ran businesses. Yeah. He's given his point of view, and I didn't mind this interview. I didn't think he was a hypocrite. I think that he's grown up. I think he went to a company. Most importantly, he went to a company that he doesn't have to make money wrestling anymore.
Yeah.
He did it because he wanted to come back to wrestling. And when he came back to wrestling, while people are getting guaranteed contracts, Punk said, "You can cut me. You can, I'll go home. I'll give you the money back. It ain't that big of a deal. I didn't come for the money." Where other talent is coming for money and comfort. And other talents very much show and prove. Like,
yeah,
Swerve is a very show and prove guy.
Definitely.
Right? Whereas, I am sure, I don't want to, I'm going to use Miro as an example. It doesn't feel like Miro comes to work ever. Right?
No.
They say he's hurt, or they say he's got this, or they say he's got that. I'm sure he's getting paid.
He's been going through stuff, but yes.
I'm sure he has. But I'm sure he's getting paid a lot of money to not be on TV, right? We see Powerhouse Hobbs way more than we see Miro. And I'll go out on a limb and say, I'm pretty sure Miro probably makes four times as much as Powerhouse Hobbs.
At least. At least. Like, Powerhouse Hobbs just started his career. Miro was in WrestleMania. Like, when they got him, he was a really big deal.
Yep.
And to be fair, they put him on TV tomorrow. He'll probably be a really big deal again. That what he's done in WWE holds weight over, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you put it, like 75% of that roster currently.
Yep.
And when those things happen, it's such a weird dynamic. And we'll get to, you know, WrestleMania, which we're supposed to talk about here in a second, but it's a weird dynamic. AEW toys with this line of using the credibility people got in WWE and then wanting to act as though everyone's on the even playing field. And that's kind of like a Tony Khan, we're all friends here. We're all in this together.
Yep.
And it's not. Like, Powerhouse Hobbs, unfortunately, your ass got to be here every week. And you're a nice guy.
Right.
But if you take this Miro vacation, you're gone, fam. Like, it's the crowd's not going to remember.
Can't.
Like, you can't. Yeah. You don't have that, those years put in. So if I tell your ass to be here every Saturday and I need you on a Wednesday and for some reason we maybe have a house show or something and your ass got to perform, you got to do that.
Yep.
We are not all equal. You cannot look at him and be like, why? That kind of, when he was telling the Jack Perry story, that's what it reminded me. Like, Jack Perry thought he was on equal footing as CM Punk in the locker room?
And that's crazy.
What? What?
Yep.
This makes no sense. Like, how is this the dynamic here? Everyone isn't equal. You guys are not Okada. So as he comes in, if he gets a title shot tomorrow, I'm sorry. And there's great people. Again, Ricky Starks, you've been working your ass off. Swerve, you've been working your ass off. All these people. But if Okada gets a title shot tomorrow, you got to wait 3 months. You got to. And that's okay because you're not Okada. But you're working to put in those years to get there. Osprey, like, there's just a hierarchy in pro wrestling. And you are not. And Osprey's a little younger, so maybe that's a little tough. But sorry, women, you are not Mercedes. Whatever belt we deem she should chase first or get her hands on is justified. No one here is her.
No.
And that's it. We're not equal. And everyone is not equal.
And that's okay. And it's again, I think it's one man's point of view on the two companies that he worked for. And if you really like AEW, like I do, you can accept the criticism of what Punk is bringing to the table. Because these aren't things that we've never heard before. He just says them all the time. So it's even when he was at WWE, he would, you know, when he said things, anybody who's close to the industry, you've heard all these things before. He just says it and you're like, all right, well, we actually got a voice that is loud, that is actually saying these things.
Yeah.
I just, when people go, you know, he's a hypocrite or he's corporate punk. Well, it's like, yeah, when you work for a big company, of course you're corporate. Like, it doesn't mean you've turned your back on workers. It just, you're working for a company now. Like, I can't go someplace and take the company over.
Yeah.
15 years ago, maybe I thought I could. Right. Yeah. But then you get older and you're like, oh, yeah, the system is the system. There's other ways to work around the system to make sure the homies get paid, to make sure we put on a good product. And then, you know, some things work, some things don't. I just watching that interview and watching people react to it, watching people go, oh, see, AEW's a piece of shit. It's like, no, that's not the answer. Or people saying, oh, Punk is awful because shit don't. No, these two companies are just very different. They're very different. And you can enjoy what you want. Like, just take it with a grain of salt. It's his point of view.
And no disrespect to anyone out there who may be the complainers. I don't know any of them by name, but the complainers in the community, it reminds me, and it's okay, but how many people have little to no corporate experience.
Exactly.
I mean, years ago, that was me. Like, I had never worked for a major corporation. Now that I'm on my second or third major corporation, it's just like, oh, now I can compare corporations because there's even levels to this. But I understand what a corporate mindset, what it takes to navigate within it, to maintain your creativity, to climb the ladder, to not backstab as you climb. Like, there's a lot of different pieces. And some people just work at either mom and pop shops their whole life or just at a smaller level where you're never really abreast of corporate handlings and how you have to react to those.
So last thing we can talk about WrestleMania. So a lot of people saw the column I wrote on people sharing their platforms, right? Yep. You know, Candace Owens and who else was it? Tucker Carlson, whoever the fuck.
Yes.
And one thing I said in that column, it's true. It's you fight the power until you get to the power and you realize, oh, it ain't so bad up here, right? And for a lot of people, they forget who they were before they got to that spot, right? Because you're rubbing shoulders with people who now, from the outside, you're like, that's a piece of shit. He's a horrible human being. And then you have to meet him. Yeah. And you're like, oh, some these guys aren't so bad. Now, it doesn't mean you become friends with everybody. And I apologize for sniffling because I got allergies and shit. But it doesn't mean you have to like everybody. It means that, for me, sometimes you got to hear somebody talk, right? It doesn't mean you like them. It's just like, all right, I'm just going to respect what you having a voice. I'm still not giving Candace Owens my platform. This is not the point I'm trying to make.
No.
Fuck her.
Please, God, no.
She's on a crusade to destroy black people. I would never do it. But you sometimes meet people and you find another side of that person. And I'm not talking about people that are all the way conservative or Trump people or any of that shit. But sometimes you do have to listen to people who may have a differing point of view, and you don't go, man, fuck you, because that doesn't get anything done. Sometimes you meet people when you move up that ladder who have never met somebody like you. And your job now is to have a conversation to show that person that we aren't what you think we are.
Yeah.
Right. I've had plenty of conversations moving up the corporate ladder of this world where I meet people and they go, oh, I didn't think you were like that. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Right. But I don't get mad because I'm like, your perception is not your reality. The idea is like, you go, because a lot of people, they meet me, I was like, I thought you were just like angry black man. I was like, no, I'm not. But you say some dumb shit to me, I'll cut you. But if you want to have a conversation, why, especially on representation, why in racial issues or things like that, we can have a conversation. I won't get mad at you for having this point of view unless you say something really stupid. Right. If you say, well, I thought, and I'll correct you. No, that's not the way it is. That's not who we are. That's not why we do this. I don't understand Black Lives Matter. Let me help you. Let's have a conversation. I don't understand why y'all talk about police brutality. I don't understand why representation matters so much to you people. Let's have this conversation. So I feel like when you go up the ladder, you realize, all right, I got to acquiesce a little bit to the corporate structure, but I can still use this to the best of my ability to teach people to make a change at the top. The point I'm saying is a lot of this industry wouldn't be where it's at right now without Bryan Danielson and CM Punk. Those are two people who have truly changed this industry over the past 15 years. So Punk, if he just went completely rogue the entire time, there would be no opportunity for people like him to work in this business.
Yeah.
Right? There'd still be body guys out there. Bryan Danielson is a, he may have learned the system. Like, he learned how to be a better sports entertainer, but his foundation is still a wrestler, right? And it, for a lot of us, he'll be recognized as the great, one of the greatest wrestlers to ever live. But if he was like, I'm never going to WWE, fuck that corporate side of things, you don't get very far. You have to learn the system in order to change the system. Doesn't mean you got to like the system. You just got to learn it. And I think Punk learned the system, went somewhere else. It was like, oh, you guys are doing a lot of things wrong. If you really want to compete, you got to kind of change how the system works.
Yeah. It, but you're talking to a bunch of young people. And that's another thing.
That's old people that are ignorant too.
No, yeah. Oh, of course. But yeah. I mean, like, in his case, he's preaching to a bunch of young people of like, yeah, yo, facts. This is how it's done. And they're just like, bro, we're in the same place.
Yeah.
Like, I got here doing this. I'm going to continue doing this. And he's just like, yeah, but this ain't, it's weird. And it, again, it's not to shit on anyone, but he's like, this isn't that. If we want this to be that, we have to take a little bit of that, but know we're better when we do. And they're just like, no, we just want to keep this. It's like
an NBA player who relies sheerly on athleticism, and the older person's like, develop a post game, right? Like, develop a under the rim game. Because at some point, you're not going to be able to dunk like that, Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Right? At some point, and they're like, fuck you, this is what got me here. Then they turn like 32 and they're like, my knees are fucked. I should have listened. Right?
That's even
like
Vince Carter got a jump shot.
Yeah, like at a certain point, you got to add more elements. This is what got me here. Yes, but how are you going to stay here? A lot of people always get mad at the older people in the room by saying, oh, you changed. Yeah, I did, because I realized the things, like when he says, yeah, you're doing a lot of shit in the ring, maybe you should take that down a bit. He's not saying it because he hates it. He's saying it because your body's not going to hold up. So Jack Perry, why you want to destroy a rental car, have the rental car place say, fuck pro wrestling, tear your back up for what? A pop that's going to last like an hour on the internet until the next big thing happens?
Yeah.
No, save your body. Don't ruin a relationship with a rental car company because you think it looks cool. Right? That's all he's saying. And it makes sense.
And it's just like to these guys, like, and Darby's caught in this cycle. It's like, yo, that's really fucking dope. But now you're going to have to keep upping it. And sooner or later, it's going to get too costly. Like,
I mean, some guys can do it. Like, Foley did it for a long time. Like, you know, yeah. Ric Flair called him a stuntman. But that was Foley's calling card. It's okay. Yeah. But all of you can't do that shit.
No.
It dilutes the product when everybody's jumping through
shit. Foley's paying for it right now.
Yeah, his body's paying for it.
Yeah.
Like, Darby, it's Darby's thing. So if Jack Perry says, I want to do what Darby does, like, no, we got a Darby already.
Yeah.
Find please. Another way. Like, chill out. Why you want to jump through a fucking glass window on a pre-show, motherfucker? Like, what are you doing?
He doesn't. I don't know. And it got, and obviously he's still signed, but he's in New Japan ripping up contracts. Yeah. So who knows what that led to.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's talk Mania then, because you're going to be there.
Yes, I
Heading there, we'll go through night one through night two because the people need your predictions. I'll probably go through wrestling again in case some wild shit happens, but I want to check NXT, and I'll have producer Cole Bebe with me on later in the week to do so. But Dre, your predictions are ones that usually mellow me out, so I'll give my predictions now too. Night one, Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch.
Oh, there's no way Becky's coming out with this title. I just don't see any. I think Becky's sole purpose here is to put Rhea over. Like, Rhea is the one right now, and she's so much the one. Like, the idea of Becky winning this title doesn't make sense to me right now.
Yeah.
The problem, though, is I don't know who's next for Rhea. Everybody's on fucking SmackDown.
Yeah, kind of. All the new people, Bianca. Like,
Charlotte's not back. Even if she was back, Rhea already beat her. Bianca, Jade, Naomi, Io, Asuka, they're all on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Who the hell is the woman that's going to, like, Stratton's on SmackDown? Everybody's on SmackDown.
Yeah, they didn't think that one through.
Bayley's on SmackDown. Like, who is left for Rhea?
They'll probably do a returning Alexa Bliss.
She's going to nerf Alexa Bliss. They got to find somebody. Like, Raquel Rodriguez, she's just never going to be the one, right? Like, she's 1, 2, 3, not it. Like,
bringing Flexi back.
Yeah, no. So, all that to say, I think Rhea's retaining. I just don't know what this company's doing to find another challenger for her.
Yeah, I'll have to agree with you. I think this is where we get the full babyface turn. I think we get the win, the her and Becky handshake hug, the Damian Priest, what the hell is that about? And then Dom is kind of going his own way. Like, everyone seems to, this is probably, and this is like a sub angle, the destruction of that, of the Judgment Day.
And this
is where we see it. Mania is where all the bricks fall. Tag team title's gone. Senor Money in the Bank, if he, for any reason, messes up his cash in, he's going to lose his shit. Rhea is going to go babyface. Dom has found the LWO kind of crew and life outside of the faction. It's the dismantling of that crew. So I think Rhea's going to win, but she's going to turn full babyface. They'll cheer. They'll do the hand-holding things and should be explained on Monday.
Yep.
But it's a different direction after that. Then we have Gunther versus Sami Zayn.
Look, man, I love Sami, but not tonight.
Gunther's going to win. Like, yeah. I thought Sami was going to win, but all this stuff with Chad Gable and everything being built into it, and Sami doesn't want to disappoint his family and all this, it just leads me to say, like, no, bro, you got to disappoint him again. Like, it's too much of a story, and you haven't done enough to overcome it. I understand last year and Roman Reigns and everything, but like, and you started losing this year and you're getting some teeth, but at this point, Gable kind of has to cost him the match.
See, I think Gunther's just going to beat him straight up. And the beef with Gable's going to maybe start on Raw or whatever, where Gable's like, I told you.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I told you couldn't beat him.
Yeah.
You can't. Nobody can beat this fucking guy. So, no. And maybe Gable gets his shot. They just announced Clash of the Castle. Like, I don't know where this all works into it. But, yeah, I don't see Gunther dropping this title. I think it's going to be a really good match, though. Like, so, I think it's going to be better than people even expect, because I think Sammy's going to give us a lot of hope spots. He's fucking tremendous. Probably one of the most underrated workers on that damn roster. And he's going to sell those chops to the fucking moon.
Oh, it's going to be one hell of a match. I mean, would this be Sami Zayn's first 5-star match if he puts it through?
In WWE?
In general? He didn't get 5 stars for the Steen matches.
I mean,
should have. That ladder match is my favorite ladder match of all time.
That Steen match is insane. Yeah.
No disrespect to, you know, TLC that you just watched the other day. I mean, it's my favorite ladder match of all time. Him and Kevin Steen. But when you think of it, like, they're going to put on banger match, but I agree, Gunther retains, because with Gable, they're going to get to a triple threat.
Yeah.
It's just Gable got too much beef still with Gunther. Then Sammy, like, no, I got so close again. That's continued. They have the pay-per-view in Paris, I think. Backlash. This has to be a focal point of that. Because the way to get the title off of Gunther is to build Sammy and Gable strife so they pin each other for the belt and Gunther never gets pinned.
Yeah,
someone pins somebody.
Yeah.
And that's how you get the belt off of him. And he's just like, all right, well, fuck. And then you continue their story. So the triple threat I thought was going to happen here at Mania. It's not. This is going to be another further planting of that seed, and the belt will change hands like next month. But for that to happen, Gunther has to win.
Yeah.
Then, you know what? I'm guilty. I'm looking forward to this match. Six-pack tag team ladder match. This shit's about to go crazy. And they confirmed this week to win both belts for the match to end. Both sets of belts have to be pulled from the ladder.
Okay, so maybe they are planting those seeds.
So either you got to climb with your partner at the same time and y'all both rip it, or if there's multiple people on this, we're going to have multiple winners.
So that means, okay, I'm going to go with your theory here that they're going to split the belts up.
Yeah. I love R-Truth, but if him and Miz end up on the same fucking ladder, everybody else just knocked out cold and they pull both sets of belts, I'm calling shenanigans.
Yeah, me too. But I do think Miz and Truth are going to get one of these belts. I do. I really do. They want to give this pop. So I guess Miz and Truth will get one. And then to balance that shit out, it won't be Waller in theory. Funny, the Street Profits should have been in this match. I don't know what the fuck WWE is doing with these
guys. They have their own match,
which I don't care about.
New Catch Republic would be my other ones.
Either them or DIY. Like,
Teams would be on Raw, which is tricky.
If they grab the other belts, yeah. Like if you grab the SmackDown belts, you end up on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So if you put DIY on SmackDown, okay.
Yeah.
So I'll go with DIY and R-Truth and Miz splitting. Truth and Miz stay on Raw. DIY go to SmackDown.
I like that. And SmackDown's a little bit better for DIY. Like, yeah. It's a little crowded on Raw. Yeah, yeah. Go over there. Them and New Catch can have a program. That would be great.
That'd be fucking incredible.
Oh, just to the moon. So, and again, Street Profits are over there. You have AOP over there now. There's just a lot of people. One that they've worked. It's like everyone that worked in NXT is over there.
Yep.
So it's like, yo, just go over there and wrestle. So I like that pick. But yeah, we're splitting those belts. Then we have six woman tag match. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, Naomi versus Damage Control.
I'll say it first. You were right. Kel Dansby was absolutely nailed it. Nailed it.
The Black Excellence picture, though?
Boy, oh boy. They put that shit in the fucking National Museum of African American History and Culture in D.C. Because that shot, one, Bianca's abs be abbing, boy. God damn.
And that's tough. Standing next to Jade.
Right.
And your abs. Damn.
Bianca's abs are crazy. But, bro, this, unless Jade turns on them, there's no fucking way that these girls are losing. Dakota's getting nerfed.
Yeah. That's poor Coda. But, she's taking the L.
She's taking the pin probably by Jade, and then we move on. I wish it would have been a tag title match, but I guess they're like, that's enough titles on this show, these two shows.
Yeah. And
you get Jade her moment. So there
exactly. You sneak her in, and the representation matters, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, yo, three black women. There's all minorities in this. It's a minority match. There's no one. So it's one of those things, and they can all go. They can all wrestle. The storyline wasn't just built around them being black or being Asian or being whatever. It was built organically.
Yep.
And it was like, oh shit, it just makes sense. But yeah, not a three black women in Philly standing strong. That crowd's going to go nuts. And then match of the night for you, LWO versus Ray and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom.
And Dirty Dom, I feel like, I want to say Dirty Dom is they're going to win this match because Dom lost last year and Dragon Lee just fucking eats pins every week. And because Carlito's about to turn on Ray because he's pissed off he didn't get picked for this match.
Yeah.
There's another part of me that wonders with the eventual destruction of Judgment Day, when do Dom and Ray bury this?
No.
It doesn't happen forever. Not here. But I wonder if the seeds start getting planted for that because it's fun. And Dom's a heat magnet, so you can't do it now, but maybe later. So I'm going to say Carlito turns. Dom gets his win back against his dad.
Dom definitely pins Ray. Carlito doesn't turn for me. I think with Judgment Day breaking up and then you have Andrade kind of like hanging around, I think we're going to see like the Avengers of Spanish people as a faction. Like, I'm dead ass serious. Like, I feel like Dragon Lee's going to turn on Rey. Because no, Rey has anointed him. And it's going to be Legado, Dragon Lee, Dom, after he leaves Judgment Day, is going to be over. Andrade. And we're just going to have a super friends of fucking Spanish people. And it'll be like, oh, this is a badass, just 8-person deep Spanish faction. And it's, yeah, it's going to be like Andrade had in Mexico, right? Like LIJ spurned off from, but like, it was like, you're the best Spanish people and we're just here to run this shit. Yeah. So I think that's the way it goes. And then Dom and Ray will be one up. And your question, the answer is pretty easy. And it is, what is better than hair versus mask next year? Mask being the retirement of Rey Mysterio.
Yep.
And Dom with the full mullet. And it's like, you know, it's hair versus mask. And in Mexico, it means if I give my mask, it's my career. And Ray has his retirement match against his son.
Yeah, I can see that.
1-1. So I think we build to that. Then we have Jimmy versus Jey Uso.
Look, man.
With every rapper alive. Ringside.
Jey does not need to win this match, right? I'm just saying he's so over that he doesn't need to win this match. He probably will, but he doesn't need if it feels like Jimmy could use it's weird, they're twins. Jimmy could use the rub by beating his brother. Because I feel like this can't be the end of their feud.
Okay.
If Jey wins, this thing is over. If Jimmy wins, I think it continues. So I'm gonna go with Jimmy by solo shenanigans.
Yeah. Solo gotta do something. Like a lot of something. He's not in anything. And then main event bloodline, Rock Roman versus Cody and Seth. I'll go first. Cody's been taking ass whooping every single night for the past 2 weeks.
He's fucking him up.
He's pinning Rock. Like, because Rock has just been beating his ass on camera, off camera, social media, calling out his moms. He got to pin the Rock.
Feels like
I don't care what else happened.
I think Rock already won because this is the fucking coldest entrance in pro wrestling right now. When that shit hits the final boss on the screen, he's just standing. Fuck it. I'm in the arena for that shit.
Oh, my God.
Those entrances are going to be like an hour long.
At Mania? Insane.
Them shit's going to be as long as an episode like Breaking Bad.
It's going to be 1:30 a.m. And you're going to be old manning it. You're going to be tired as hell watching that.
I'm going to say the bloodline wins. I'm going to say Rock pins Seth.
Okay.
But I feel like there'll be just some dissension. Like this, I have no idea what's about to happen in this match. So I'm just really just galaxy braining this shit. Because I feel like if Rock and Roman are going to have some interaction, the bloodline rules would be the reason why the Rock gets involved on night two. I don't think there's any way we have night two without seeing the Rock. And I also think I don't see a way that this ends with The Rock not being a babyface in some way, shape, or fashion.
Yeah.
He's been cooking. Fans don't give a fuck. They're like, we kind of like booing you, but you're really good at what you do. So I'm going to say Seth loses, and it sets him up to drop this title on night two.
If Seth loses, it's only because Drew McIntyre comes out and wrecks him. He's not even ready for it. Match the next day. And Drew's like, see, shouldn't have underestimated me. Beat your ass tonight. Take out your knee or something. Let's see how we do tomorrow. So that's a very big possibility now that I think about it. But yeah, no, I like Cody pinning Rock. And I'm standing true with Roman has to turn on Rock. I don't foresee Rock turning on Roman.
I can see Roman turning on Rock, and this is what builds to the real friction here. Because if if Rock loses, then Roman's like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, but we had everything set up for tomorrow, bloodline rules, and you get pinned and lose? Like, you're fucking me up for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Cody just standing there and be like, me, you 1v1. And then like, Rock. Roman's just like, fuck, to like end the night. And then night two, Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre, which I assume opens it. Someone's beating Seth's ass the night before. He is not 100% entering this match, and he is going to lose to Drew McIntyre, and he deserves to. Great feud. Seth's been a great champion. Belt feels good. Drew's on fire. You got to let him have it.
Also, I feel like the whole point of Seth winning this belt was to establish it, right? Now there's a meaningful person getting that title off him. Supposed to be Punk, maybe. Now it's going to be Drew. Drew's just been too good. At this point, he's just too good. So, yeah, Drew's beating. Seth could win. I just don't necessarily see it.
I don't think so. Cash in or no cash in? Failed or no? They're on two separate nights.
Yeah.
So Priest is doing nothing night two.
Fuck it. He cashes in and Priest fails.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Shot.
Fuck it.
And then... that's Drew's first feud, naturally, then. If that happens and fail cash in, then try again. Then we have Io Sky versus Bayley, night two.
I know people want Bayley to win this title. I don't. Io. I'm picking Io. I don't want Bayley to win. I want Io to win this title because her friends are getting nerfed the night before.
Yeah, but not losing their belts.
Not losing their belts, but I want Io to be strong in this and win because I feel like we haven't scratched the surface of EOS champion yet. So
we picked so many retains that I'm at this point now, I'm a little antsy. Fuck it. Bayley's going to win. Bayley's going to win. Her versus Damage Control are going to continue and they have to chase the belt. But yeah, I think Bayley wins this. Hopefully she has the wacky inflatables. I want to see old school Bayley, that'll pop me. I'm really here for the entrance, and hopefully they have a really good match. And then LA Knight versus AJ Styles, which right now is just listed as a singles match. This has too much heat, it's kayfabe wise, to be a normal match.
No, they got to have some kind of street fight.
Street fight, right? Like something. Yeah. Philly brawl or some shit. Well, he's wearing Tim's. They showed up at his house. It got to be some shenanigans.
I'll pick LA Knight, but Diesel version of AJ Styles, I wouldn't be surprised if he won. AJ Styles is Diesel right now. He's fucking huge.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to go with LA Knight. He's got the momentum right
Me
now.
Me too. AJ knows he doesn't need it. AJ's just happy to be on Mania.
Yep.
And then LA Knight's like, all right, fuck it. He'll get the rub. And then Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens.
It feels like Logan's got to escape with his title, right?
Bro, I don't even know. I think so.
I think so. Randy,
that's a lot of retaining.
I know. Like the only title changes are the tag titles right now.
Yeah.
And you have picked Bayley to get the title off of EO.
Yeah.
I feel like Randy does not need this title. Right?
No. Is this the only title he hasn't had though?
That's the thing. I don't think he's had the US title. So, but he doesn't need it.
No.
But
they love that shit to be a Grand Slam champ.
The way they've set this up is like the odds are stacked against Logan Paul because Randy and Kevin have been friendly, which makes me think that Logan's going to retain the title because they're going to get unfriendly in this match and cost each other the opportunity to win, and Logan will escape. So I'll pick Logan to escape with the titles.
They may get unfriendly on Friday. I'm tired of this friendly bullshit.
Yeah, I know.
Friday better. There's a whole nother SmackDown. Like it better happen on Friday. I don't know who's going to win that. Give me Kevin Owens just for shits and giggles. It's not going to be him, but give me it. And then, this is why the other one's not a street fight, because we have a six-man Philadelphia street fight. I'm not calling them the Pride. Bobby Lashley, Street Profits versus the Final Testament, I'll use their correct name, Karrion Kross and AOP.
I don't care. Like I
Karrion Kross needs to win. If it's going to happen, Street Profits and Bobby, even if this shit implodes and you break them up, they're fine. They'll be okay. You can repackage. This needs to work for Karrion Kross, and he has to show out.
He does. He needs a. I mean, he's
give him all the money for the entrance. Every like, he has to look like a star. It's his first WrestleMania. He has to look like a star.
I agree. And if anybody's paid attention, he's leaning out, like he's yeah. His body's changing, and it's like he looks like he's ready to do what he was supposed to do. He got ruined with the GIMP thing, so
the hair gotta go.
Karrion probably chokes out Dawkins.
Yep, that hair has to go. And fuck choking out Dawkins, you got to put him over correctly in this match. He has to choke out Bobby.
Fuck it.
I'm which someone really doesn't do. You got to choke out Bobby.
I'm fine.
On some final boss shit. Like, yo, we need you to look super strong. Just find a barber. It's Philly. Find a barber, cut the damn hair before Sunday, and we're all right. And then main event, Roman Reigns versus Cody Reigns. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Entrances about 20 minutes long. I'm okay with anything. Cody wins. I'm okay with any way that happens, almost except for the most likely outcome, which I can't stand right now, which is John Cena, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No, I don't want none of that.
Probably Hulk fucking Hogan coming out and chasing away the bloodline, if it's a bloodline rules match. And then The Rock being there, and it's just them three versus The Rock, and The Rock standing with them as the Mount Rushmore of WWE. And they all stand shoulder to shoulder and watch Cody win. It's kind of like that cheesy fucking passing a torch. But if you have all four of those guys, even as much as dislike Hogan, they still put him on the fucking Mount Rushmore. Disrespect Sean. But those four guys, in terms of earning, are probably the biggest four names in the history of the company. And so for them to watch Cody win shoulder to shoulder, I get the fucking optics of it. It's like, whatever. And it's for casual and kids. What do I? They don't book for me.
I don't want that at all.
No. Anything but that, but I feel like that's the shit that would happen.
If Cody and Seth win, there's no doubt in my mind Cody's going to be Roman, right? If there's bloodline rules, there is a possibility that Roman retains the title.
You're going two for two. You're doubling down.
I'm just saying there is a possibility with bloodline rules because Roman's story is basically interference in every match.
Yep.
Right? As long as if there's interference, he has a chance. If it's straight up, Cody's going to win. Because that's the story, right? But I think there'll be even – one way or another, I think Cody's going to win this title. I don't think we're going to get Austin. I don't want them there. I want Cody to win this match. If The Rock were to turn back the bloodline interference or something like that, I can go with that. I don't need Cena. Like, I'd rather have Cena and Austin, like, show up at WrestleMania and cut a promo or some shit. Yeah. I don't want them involved in the main event.
Do the three legend shit and have them beat up someone who's not on television.
Yeah,
what's a heel group not on TV? Just sacrifice them. That was great. Vince used to do that shit all the time. You get their entrances. They beat up on a random faction.
Yeah, just like go find Austin Theory and beat him up.
I was just about to say that Austin Theory
feels like the guy to go beat up.
Yeah, but that's great.
If push came to shove, I'd say Cody's winning the title here because I don't think you can. I mean, Cody's bringing the wrestling club. The kids are going to be there. You can't just ruin everything.
No, but. Sooner or later, you got to give the people what they want.
Yeah.
last year's excusable. Yeah. 2 years in a row. Like now you just mess with my emotions.
So, yeah, Cody will be champ. Everything will end. People will be excited. Yay. But I think all in all, it'll be a good WrestleMania.
It's not going to be bad. We've had bad ones.
Loaded card. I've been doing my WrestleMania binge watch. Holy shit.
Damn.
Some of these things are 6 hours long and just full of dull ass matches.
We were in WrestleMania 32 in Dallas. We were just like, oh my God, when is this ending?
It was a marathon.
And then it was Roman Triple H going for like 40 minutes
of nothing. But I think this will be good. I'm excited, man. I'm excited for WrestleMania weekend. I'm excited to be in Philly, seeing the homies, Ring of Honor, Wild Mania, of course. Should be a good time. It should be a good time. It's the TKO era. We are now entering the TKO era of WrestleMania. So we should see the impact. I wonder what UFC fighter will be at this card. You think Conor McGregor shows up?
If Conor walks out Becky, then we know that TKO money's TKOing.
Yeah.
And he has Roadhouse out and all this shit. Only makes sense. Like you're trying to promote a movie, like show Conor backstage with Becky and then walk out together.
Yeah, I think we'll see some TKO influence, whether it's the entrances, backstage interactions. We'll see. And they
You
got to
mean
promote UFC 300.
the
UFC 300 is the
notorious
following.
entrance?
Yeah.
Come on.
UFC 300 is next week.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Give me Connor, because you get the notorious. And instead of Biggie hitting, it's just Becky's theme.
Yep.
Writes itself. Use that
Yeah.
money. Oh, Meek Mill performs, obviously. Lil Wayne is there. So maybe we get a live performance of his new single with Jay. There's the Ari fucking Nick Khan thumbprint of using stars and celebrities and leveraging that is definitely being felt this year.
Yeah, just make sure it's good. I don't want to do like the Flo Rida shit.
No, we're past that. Like they, Bad Bunny was taking fucking sunset flips. Like we're okay. Like they're getting actual stars, and if anything, they're getting like people we know. There's probably a ton of middle-aged white people fans who are like, "Who the fuck is this?" Like they know Lil
Yeah,
Wayne, but
funny.
they're like, "What is a Meek Mill? Like what is a Dreams and Nightmare?" So it's, listen, they're embracing us. We'll embrace it. Have a blast out there in Philly. Can't wait to see everyone having fun. I'll be here watching. And I got to cover the NCAA tournament, Final Four. So that is my weekend mixed in with that. So we appreciate you all for listening. Check us out. We'll do a Patreon show still this week that I'll hold down as the old man gets ready to go. And then, like I said, producer Cole Bebe with us later in the week. And I'll do boxing MMA combined as one show as well. So we appreciate you all. Really, really, really enjoy the entire weekend. If you're a Patreon member, jump on the Discord. It's already popping. I was talking on all damn night last night on Discord talking about this weekend. So we got that one going. Producer Cole Bebe will hop in there too with everyone talking in the corner club. Till next time, till after Mania, we're out.
Peace.